This is Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck. Each month this school year, we've been bringing you stories about the books that are nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Book Award. The winner is selected by Vermont middle school students who read the books that are nominated to the annual DCF list. Looking ahead to Valentine's Day, we thought it would be fitting to feature The Boy on Cinnamon Street, a quirky romance. The novel, by Vermont author Phoebe Stone, is about a first crush, a secret admirer, and a family tragedy. For this installment of Dorothy's List, VPR's Amy Noyes takes us to Brattleboro Area Middle School, where students have some probing questions that they asked us to put to the book's author.
The Boy on Cinnamon Street has been called a modern-day love story. The main character has a secret admirer who leaves anonymous notes and messages. At Brattleboro Area Middle School, librarian Mary Linney has a group of 7th and 8th graders who meet to talk books. She asks the book bunch if the idea of love letters rings true to these students of the digital age.
Can handwritten love letters? I mean, is that a thing of the past?
They can survive, but it's hard because
they survive with Twitter. The people that have true passion.
I feel like that might happen, but not at first. Like, that's not how someone would get asked out. But if you've been dating for, 7 months, which is really rare, and, they write you a nice letter, that kind of thing can stay.
Okay, just texting is easy, but, actually writing a letter
is,
harder. Yeah, the amount of time. So it's, the amount of work you go through just to make this person feel that way. That means a lot more than just a text.
The main character in The Boy on Cinnamon Street is a 13-year-old girl named Louise, and she's working on sorting out much more than the identity of her secret admirer. There's been a trauma in her life, and she's blocked out her memories from that event and much of her life before it happened. When we meet Louise, she's living with her grandparents. She's quit gymnastics, a sport that defined much of her old life, and she's decided to change her name to Thumbelina. Throughout the story, we come to learn more about Louise's old life on Cinnamon Street and the tragedy that changed everything. Louise has her grandparents to guide and support her through the trauma. Here's 8th grader Isaac Freitas Egan. He wants to know if author Phoebe Stone had someone similar in her life.
So I was just wondering, because I read the author's note about how something similar to what happened to Louise in the book happened to you. I was just wondering if you had relatives that helped you out of it, like the grandparents in the story.
Stone says her mother was the glue that held her family together after the loss of her father.
My mother was wonderful, actually. I had had the most beautiful life before it happened. We lived at Vassar College. My father was a professor. We had a cozy, intellectual, loving family. And then this happened. It really turned my world upside down. I mean, I had a complete opposite experience. I wasn't particularly equipped to handle it. But my mother was amazingly strong and supportive.
There's a particular line in The Boy on Cinnamon Street that stuck with 8th grader Lucy Congleton. She wants the author to elaborate on its meaning.
I was wondering about when Louise's grandma said that her mother was one of the people who aren't supposed to be in this world. And it could mean a lot of things, but I wanted to know what the author thought about that and why she wrote it and what she meant by it.
Sometimes it seems that some people find life so terribly difficult. And it is difficult. It's wonderful and challenging and beautiful and full of joy, and it's hard and it's painful and it's scary. It's both things. And some of us are equipped to handle both things beautifully. And some people love the challenge of all the difficulties and the joy. I mean, the joy is so intense. And, we wouldn't experience the great joy of life if we didn't have the other side, the sadness, too, because we wouldn't even know what joy was without the opposite. Some people just prefer not to do it.
7th grader Amelia Dick Fior Del Farbo wants to know about Phoebe Stone's writing process and how much of her stories come from her own life.
While you were writing, did you sit down and say, I want to write a love story and I want to incorporate some of my own personal experiences in it? Or did it just kind of come out like that?
When I begin writing a book, I never know where I'm going. And I liken it to walking in the woods and sort of stumbling along, finding my way and hoping as I go along that eventually the path that I took will lead me to the end. But it's interesting how much of my life ends up a lot in the story. Not directly, not ever directly, but indirectly, I sort of use my own experiences. It gives the book much more personal energy for me. I care about the characters terribly and care about the story because it's closely related to my story.
Here's Phoebe Stone reading a passage from The Boy on Cinnamon Street that explains the numbness Louise feels inside.
Honestly, I don't feel a thing about my mom or my dad. It's like when a doctor gives you a shot of painkiller for a broken hand or something, and you go home and put that hand on a hot burner on the stove by mistake. You could burn up your hand if you aren't looking because you don't feel a thing. Not one thing. We pull up in front of the antique show. Grandma parks the car nicely and doesn't bump into or smash anything like she usually does. She smiles at Grandpa and says, "Perfect. What'd I tell you?" And Grandpa says, "You're wedged too close to that truck, baby doll. Let me repark this thing." I'm not in any hurry. I hate antique shows. There's nothing old I like anyway, except maybe a little jewelry box that used to belong to my mother. When you open the lid, it plays this little song called "O Stars in the Sky." "O stars in the sky, all the stars twinkling by, I wish and I sigh, as a star so high. I wish and I sigh, and I wonder why. Why? My mother pinned a picture of herself and my father and me on the inside of the lid on the soft white satin. It's still there. When you open the lid, you hear the song, and you see the photo.
Family is an important theme in The Boy on Cinnamon Street, but Louise's friends also play a vital role. Several students, including 8th grader Martine Sipowitz, wanted to know more about a unique character named Henderson, who is the brother of Louise's best friend, Renee.
Is your husband Henderson? Or is your husband like the Henderson in this book? Is he quirky? Is he like him?
Yes, he is partly Henderson. But really and truly, Grandma and Grandpa are me and David, my husband, in a way. And, of course, they're a little bit older than we are, but David calls me Baby Doll, and Grandpa calls Grandma Baby Doll. And I kind of wanted to poke fun at us a little bit, so I thought it was sort of amusing to portray us through a 13-year-old girl's eyes.
And although Henderson is not exactly modeled after someone in Stone's life, she says the character plays an important role in Louise's story.
Henderson is definitely the catalyst for the whole story. He sets everything in motion. And I think it's when he actually goes on eBay and buys a little meteorite, a piece of the universe, like a little falling star, he kind of sets the whole book in motion. And I'd have to say that to me, that's sort of what the theme of the whole book is. It's about how your inner being is so beautifully interwoven and connected to the outer universe. And that little falling star, or so-called falling star that Henderson buys, sort of sets the whole evolution of Louise finding herself and experiencing, finally confronting the trauma and sort of blasting through to the other side and waking up in a way. And it's all because of Henderson and that little eBay falling star that he bought.
The Boy on Cinnamon Street balances the aftermath of a family tragedy with the airy drama of a first crush. Eighth grader Olivia Howe wants to know which part is more important to the author.
If you could rewrite this book, would you choose to focus on the crush part or the serious part?
For me, I couldn't separate the two at this point because they seemed so interrelated, really, because the truth of the matter is when you close off your feelings and block off your emotions because of a trauma, you don't feel anything. And you can't love anyone unless you can break through to your feelings, experience what it is that's blocking off your feelings, and open up, and that's when you can love someone and fall in love. Until then, it wouldn't be possible. So I don't know that I could separate the two of them. And I like to play in between light and heavy. I didn't want to just do a heavy book. I wanted a book with humor, and I wanted a book with a little magic and lightness and romance. So I tried to weave them together.
In the reading room at Brattleboro Area Middle School, the debate continues over the future of love letters and anonymous admirers in an age of Snapchat and texts. But as Olivia Howe points out, even in this digital age, personal relationships can still be personal.
Well, it's true that, like, texting is more private, but I think doing it in person, either, like, getting together or breaking up, is, like, you have to be there for their reaction, whether you like it or not, whether they like it or not. The point is, of a relationship, is it's two people, you know, you're together, so even if you're breaking up or if they reject you, you have to deal with it because that's what you bargained for.
And while sometimes life gives you more than you bargained for, as Phoebe Stone said, we have to learn to live with both great joy and great sadness. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.
The book is The Boy on Cinnamon Street by Middlebury author Phoebe Stone. Next month, in our series Dorothy's List, Temple Grandin, How the Girl Who Loved Cows Embraced Autism and Changed the World by Cy Montgomery. Here's a preview read by Abby Jakunski of Colchester.
Slowly, carefully, 4,000-pound steers walk over, forming a circle around her prone body. The huge animals are eager to investigate. A person lying on the ground is something weird, Temple explains. As long as you don't move, they'll come up to you. The steers are a little nervous, but they're curious, too. Their furry ears arc forward. They inhale her scent through their wet noses. She can smell their grassy breath, and then one of them extends his long, rough, wet tongue and begins to lick Temple's face. She smiles.
That's an excerpt from Temple Grandin, How the Girl Who Loved Cows Embraced Autism and Changed the World. It's the next book in our monthly series, Dorothy's List, about the books nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Book Award. Dorothy's List is funded by the VPR Journalism Fund.